This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center and NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
Ramadan Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all with all the wonderful blessings of this season, that all the blessings that this beautiful month has to offer. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused us to fast during this time, right? Shahrun Ramadan, unzila fihi Qur'an hudan linnas. That the month of Ramadan is the month that the Qur'an is revealed. It's the month that the Qur'an descends, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لَرَعَدُّكَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُولَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Inshallah, let me slow down. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us, like, had this Quran been revealed upon a mountain, it would have crushed and crumbled the entire mountain, right? But subhanallah, it's revealed upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then to us. In understanding this is like the weightiness of this word, the weightiness of this message, the weightiness of the beauty of it, subhanallah. And yet it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to experience and to have. And so just the fact that he would allow our hearts to be able to perceive it and to be able to understand and perceive to contain some of its meaning, subhanallah. And so with this, when we talk about fasting and the Quran, and the relationship between the two of these, there is a secret that as subhanAllah, our fasting, we restrain from food and from drink, and of course from carnal desires. And we even restrain being more careful about where we're traveling, what places do we want to go. Even when we're careful about that, that these are all the rivers to the ocean of the heart. Right, that we're careful about what we watch, about what we listen to, about what we speak and what we consume. And then, of course, that which is below the navel, careful about that which we intake into our bodies, which then connect to our hearts. And of course, subhanAllah, careful about the suhbah that we keep, the companionship that we keep in the places that we travel. In doing so, almost quarantine the heart, right? By fasting, we actually put the heart almost saying all those rivers that might be polluting it, right? All those rivers that might be sending harmful messages or even overwhelming messages through it. What we do, subhanAllah, is we say, let me stop. You know, let me stop what the messages that are coming through that river and quarantine the heart. So, and by doing that, that we prepare our hearts to be able to receive the message of the Quran in a pure state, subhanAllah. And then after we find, when we break our fast, we turn our attention toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in turning our attention toward Allah, we say, Ya Allah, right now, now that I recognize, I've had moments to reflect and think about the contents of my heart, I'm now turning that over to you. In a communication with you, from salah comes from the term sila, which means to have a connection. When I'm able to stop and reflect throughout the day, not so busy with all the things of the day, right? Then I say, subhanAllah, now I give over the content of my heart to you. But I use the Quran as a means in order not only to be a filter, but the Quran as the means by which I'm communicating with Allah through the best speech, right? The best speech is the speech of the Quran. The best way is the way of Allah, right? And so in understanding that, we say, as I use this Quran on my tongue, I'm communicating with my Lord about the current contents of my heart and then asking him to fill it with the light of the Quran through this connection. And so subhanAllah, with understanding all of the meanings that are connected to this blessed month of Ramadan, understanding that subhanAllah, this is the month where all of our ibadah comes together, right? Of course, this is the time where our shahada counts, our connection with Allah, saying, Ya Allah, I bear witness. There's the only reason that someone would do this, that someone would say, you know, that someone would say, I'm going to not eat or even drink water all day is because they are bearing witness to the greatness of Allah. They're saying, Ya Allah, I'm making this connection, this relationship with you. This is my contract, my aqad, my connection with you. This is my promise to you, Ya Allah, right? Through this. And so by making that connection, then subhanAllah, after making that connection, of course, we turn our hearts toward Allah in the salah, and then with fasting. Then that fasting teaches us something about our brothers and sisters, saying, be aware of your brothers and sisters who are in need, and make sure that you give compassionately toward them. Make sure you take that feeling of hunger to surpass just your own self, teaching us that faith is not a selfish act, that faith is something that is to be shared, right? That it's something that should cause us to act in a particular way, that it should cause us to connect to humanity. When we connect to God, it's not a selfish thing. It should cause us to connect to humanity in a different way. And then, of course, the fasting. And then you say, well, how is Hajj connected? The greater Hajj, the Hajj, the migration that says, I migrate from the dunya and my worldly concerns and my sins or transgressions, and I migrate toward Allah and His Messenger. And so with that, inshallah, I just turn the program back over and I say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the inner secrets of this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us all to deepen our ibadah and our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to receive the reality of what this fasting is about, so that we may understand the true meaning of the Quran by having this greater connection to Allah and greater connection to humanity. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ramadan Mubarak. So inshallah, in this moment now that we're all gathered together and everyone's here, we're with our evening adhkar, bismillah. Especially we want to make sure that we recite our evening adhkar before the coming in of Maghrib, inshallah. So this is how we normally would start our class. And so this time, inshallah, we'll go ahead and start with the evening adhkar. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we recite the dua of protection. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Now we recite the dua that is the renewal of our faith. رديت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. رديت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. رديت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I said, inshallah, we'll just try this one. Let me know if this connection works a little bit better than the other one. I'm looking forward to you guys having, you will have to tell me that, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So continuing on with our class tonight, inshallah, I just want to talk a little bit about in this month of Ramadan, one of the most significant points about the Ramadan, of course, is that it is the month of the Quran. And so we've been spending a number of weeks actually discussing Anbiya, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in understanding the purpose of prophets and understanding the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send this sabab, right? Like how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could absolutely decide, right, not to send a mediator? I was trying to mention earlier, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّئًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That Allah said, had he revealed this Quran on top of a mountain, it would have crushed and crumbled the entire mountain, right? And so understanding that this particular month of the Quran, what is it about it that is so weighty? That in understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he sent the Quran as like basically this connection between the khalq wa al-khalq, between the creator and the creation, right? That he sent this Quran so that the creation could be guided aright. So then in understanding that he sent the prophets, yes, so that they would deliver the Quran, but also more importantly, that they would deliver the methodology for how revelation would be implemented. And so when we look at every single one of the prophets that we've been discussing, there are two things that they come specifically to give. Number one, they give glad tidings to those who believe. They give glad tidings for those who believe in two ways. Number one, in discussing how they were on the path of those who were righteous before them. But then in addition to, they give glad tidings directly from their Lord of Jannah, saying that if you adhere, if you're able to put your life in alignment with the Furqan, with the criteria, with understanding what are the commandments and the prohibitions that are going to lead you into lasting success. You guys are going to have to tell me how to get rid of this
This, oh, there we go. It's driving me nuts. There we go. That in putting our life in alignment with the commandments as well as the prohibitions, then we set ourselves aright, right? Because the job and the goal of the believer is to be a reflection of Tawheed. So in being a reflection of Tawheed, there's the reflection of the mind, the body, and the soul. And so when the mind, the body, and the soul are in alignment, when there is no friction, there is no fight or struggle in between these components of the human being, then one is able to, then and they're all in alignment with the revelation of Allah, then one experiences exactly what Islam is, which is salama, right? That peace that is attained through the submission to Allah, right? That when one decides, I'm going to put my own will, right? Because free will is a gift. You have the ability to do with it as you please, right? So in deciding that I'm going to put my free will in alignment with Allah's will, then it allows the mind, the body, and the soul to be in one accord and not in friction with each other, thereby creating a deep sense of peace, right? Not a sense of chaos. But in order for it to first be proven relevant, right? Like, how is it that I know that, subhanAllah, that the Quran revelation in general is something that is relevant, that is something that is needed? Because this is what each and every one of the Anbiya, they had to prove to their people. Each and every one of the prophets who came, they had to prove to their people, what is it, right? Why do I have to follow a book? Why is it that I have to follow you? Why is it that I have to fall in line with this particular order of things? There are a number of stories. Majority of the Quran, as well as the Torah and the case of the Injil, it's filled with stories of those who decided to align their will outside the will of Allah, and then as a result experience internal chaos, right? Or societal chaos, natural disasters, things that begin to happen to the earth because of their alignment, and ultimately also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath, because things are in a state of discord, because they're not in a state of harmony, right? So in understanding that, when we say, in discussing all of these prophets, for example, tonight, inshallah, we wanted to discuss, but we will continue along on this path, and discussing, for example, Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam. The case with Prophet Shu'ayb is that his people were so connected to business. They were so connected to making money, chasing paper. They wanted to understand, like literally their question to Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam was, what does your prayer have to do with our money? Like basically, we can keep our dunya, right, separate from our deen, that we can, you know, basically earn our money, earn our wealth this way, and nothing stops us from earning our wealth this way, right? And then we can come and pray about it later. We can come talk to Allah later. That these two things, they wanted to separate that which is sacred from that which is secular, right? And so under their thought of this, to separate that which is sacred from that which is secular, is actually the exact opposite, right, of what the Muslims, what Islam, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was guiding towards humanity, that if you try to keep your worldly self separate from your soul, if you try to keep your body separate from your soul, you're going to find yourself in a state of discord. You're going to find yourself in a state of unrest and a state of dis-ease. If you try to keep your mind separate from your body, or your mind separate from your soul, you're going to find yourself in a state of dis-ease, in a state of discord. And so therefore, inside of the Quran, you will find commandments, or inside of every revelation, you will find commandments that are specifically related to the body, what you must do, like in fasting, right? Like we find, subhanAllah, inside of intermittent fasting, we find all kinds of physical benefits. We find all types of physical rewards for, as a result of it, right? Even though it's not the ultimate goal. That what fasting is a physical action, right? That leads to a higher spiritual reality. So these two things are not separate from each other. Someone who, for example, experiences or goes through, they commit a lot of fornication. They are going to experience a level of discord inside their own soul. Interestingly enough, for those who commit zina repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, they find themselves in a state of loneliness. They find themselves in a state of just, I'm not fit. There's like this hole that you can't fill. Subhanallah. There, it actually gives them the opposite of what seemingly it would present, because the soul is out of alignment with the body. And so when we look at the what is the purpose of revelation, looking at this month of the Quran and connecting revelation to the prophets that we've been studying, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not only do I want to connect the creation to the creator, but for them to have a guide for how that would happen in their personal affairs, in their family affairs, in their communal affairs and their societal affairs, in every aspect of their life, they need to be guided. On their physical reality, their mental reality, their heart reality, and their soul reality, for them to be guided aright. So when we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often refers to it as the dhikr, right? As the reminder. He refers to it as the reminder. Why? Two things. Number one, he's telling us about stories that happened before that we may have forgotten about, that we may have forgotten about collectively as a people, or that we may have forgotten about personally. That sometimes there's a certain story that we need to hear in our life. For example, there are many times we're going through a spiritual crisis and we're saying, "Ya Allah, it's not that I don't believe, it's just that I need a specific sign from you. I need you just to guide me. I need you to show me. I need you just to show me your presence in my life. I need you to show me that I'm not alone. I need you to show me that this faith is real," right? So this goes back, subhanAllah, to two of our anbiya who did this. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? And he's like, "Oh Allah, show me a sign." And Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he's like, "Ya Allah, show me a sign. Is it that you don't believe?" "Nah, Ya Allah, I believe. I just want to increase my faith." So one of them, he tells, take a bird and cut it into four pieces and put it on four different mountaintops and then call it. Right? Then call it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassembles that bird back together. He gives us this mu'jizat, this miracle, in order to even strengthen the faith of even the prophets. The greatest miracle that he gave to the Muslims, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest miracle he gave us is the miracle of the Quran. Why? Why is it the greatest miracle? Number one, we weren't present when that bird was assembled. We weren't present when Ibrahim alayhi salam was, you know, lowered into the fire and then pulled out safe and sound, and the fire was cooled and safe. We weren't present. We weren't present when Musa alayhi salam split the Red Sea and escaped from Pharaoh. We weren't present. So we didn't get to experience the fullness of that miracle, nor the fullness of experiencing it on a daily basis. It's something that is a reminder of what Allah can do. It's a reminder of the power of Allah. It's a reminder to help us through a difficult time. But with the Quran being the living miracle, it's something that we actually get to experience. It's not only something we get to recite, it's something that we get to reflect on, that subhanAllah, the knowledge inside the Quran is forever unfolding. We've all read the books about how the Quran revealed the stages of birth inside the stages of gestation of a child inside the womb of its mother, long before there were devices in order to detect it. We all know, subhanAllah, the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the stations and the orbit not only of the planets around the sun, but that the entire universe is in a state of movement, that the entire universe is experiencing rotation. Subhanallah, long before there were telescopes to tell us so, long before we could even understand the movement of the bees, before we had the kind of study that we would be able to understand the movement of the bees, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we always think anytime, subhanAllah, they describe something from the Nature Channel about animals, they always say it's a mating dance, right? That's their famous line, it's a mating dance. But in this case, the bee is actually being inspired by Allah. That Allah Ta'ala is actually giving the bee ilham to teach the other bees where to get the nectar in order to make the honey. Subhanallah Khalik, even though she herself has never been there. She's given the movement that she's making is actually a map that she's drawing with her own body to teach them. These miracles begin to unfold. So we are experiencing that, right? We're interacting with the Quran. And that's only on a physical level. That when we begin to experience the miracles of the Quran on a spiritual level, right? The part that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a certain dua to make, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us certain verses that are transformational in our lives, then we get to experience the miracle of the Quran. Then we understand what is the purpose of the Anbiya, the prophets, to begin with. As the beloved messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he showed us, they said he was the walking Quran. Yes, this means in his ethics. Yes, this means in his akhlaq and his character. Yes, that means in his daily interactions. But more importantly, what they're saying is that he is the example of what it means, right? Of how miracles can take place by the Quran. Whether it's how it changed the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab from being this thug who like slapped his own sister, right? To his heart being transformed by the recitation of the Quran, or whether it's by, subhanAllah, someone coming to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's sitting at the Kaaba and he begins to recite verses of the Quran, and that becomes a veil between the Prophet sallallahu wasallam alayhi and that person, and they come to attack him and they don't even see. The Quran itself becomes a protection for him, the same as it becomes a protection for us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you recite Ayatul Kursi, right, 70,000 angels will come to your rescue as soon as you step outside of that door. You recite Ayatul Kursi, the malaika are coming in front of you, behind you, to your right, and to your left to protect you. Miracles for you. When you recite Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq wa Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, right, that the shayateen that were coming, that those who had practiced magic, blowing on knots or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran will begin to act as a barrier of protection for you. You are experiencing a living miracle. A living miracle. You're interacting with this miracle. And so the greatest experience for us in this month of Ramadan is to say, Ya Allah, let me be a witness to the living miracle of the Quran. Then I will have insight into why you sent the prophets. And then I will have trust to allow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guide my life. Then I will give over the reins of my life to the way of the Sunnah. Why? Because then and only then do I recognize when we align ourselves with Allah, this is not just like some external peace. This is not just like some moment of happiness. This is about a high elevation. This is about deep transformation. This is about watching, being a witness to the miracle of your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your fast this day. May the light of the Quran illuminate your hearts and your consciousness. May you be a witness to the miracle of the Quran so that we could be able to trust what is the purpose of the prophets and even telling the stories of their lives so that we could take the lessons in order to live our own life. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. May Allah give you a blessed iftar.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.